We need you to help us. Just today, tomorrow, in our everyday life, as we, your word might come alive and you might speak to us and change and challenge us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been on this journey of sharing the good news, and today we're looking about sharing with God's power. And I don't know quite what that means to you, sharing with God's power. We often, probably most people here would be okay with the idea of God's power and what that looks like. But the practice of it, the outworking of it, sometimes can make us feel a little uncomfortable. In verse 30, it says, "Stretch out your hand, heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." There's clearly this thing that these signs and wonders, this is after Jesus has gone to heaven, and now they're saying there's these signs and these wonders. They're wanting God to carry on doing them after Jesus has gone in his church, and they're expecting him to work in power. But I wonder what your expectation is in your life of God's power. Quite a lot in this country is less so. Some places in the world I've been, they really expect God's power. But I wonder sometimes in this country, we're not really expecting real power. Maybe little bits of it, occasional bits of power now and then, but not a lot, not real power. Well, quite often I teach on things which I've experienced and I share, but this is very much at the edge of what God is doing in my life and challenging me to go back and see that God's power work in significant ways in my life. As I went to New Wine in the summer, and one of the speakers was called Robbie Dawkins, and I'm reading some of his books at the moment, a man who just seems to just expect God to work in power, and he does. Let me illustrate this by talking a little bit about running. Now, 4 weeks ago, I went to Switzerland to run a marathon up a mountain. Thank you very much, by the way, those of you who sponsored me on that run. And since then, I've run two more marathons, and I ran one yesterday morning in the rain for 3 hours. And which wasn't fun, but 3 hours of it was pouring rain. And it's quite interesting seeing people's response. It was lovely to talk to a fellow runner earlier this morning who kind of gets it. But it's quite interesting to see people's response to my running by people who don't run. And people are quite negative sometimes about it. Some people are really encouraging, but some people think, it's not good for you, you know, all your running. And it can't be good for your health. And somebody this week, actually, a friend of mine, suggested that I was being a little bit obsessed, was the phrase that they used. But, you know, when I go to these running things, this running club I go to, and these are some of the guys that I run with, and the shirts that they've got on, you probably can't see, are the 100 Marathon Club. So all these people have done at least 100 marathons. And indeed, the guy I sat down to the first time I went there, he asked me how many I'd done, and I said one. And he told me that he had done 760 or something like that, over 700, 780 I think it was actually. And I found out a guy yesterday who had done 1,400 marathons. Call me obsessed. But don't you see how different it is? When I get around these guys, I'm inspired. And there was a girl who had done, she had done 10 ultras, which means over 30 miles, in 10 days. And the guy I walked down to the start line with yesterday was telling me that he had run 7 marathons in 7 days. Now, you might think that's quite extraordinary, but wait for it. He did it in 7 continents. In other words, he ran a marathon, got on a plane, went to another continent, and ran another marathon, got on a plane, ran another marathon for 7 days in 7 continents. I just said, is that really possible? I just found him quite inspirational. He did tell me it cost him £35,000 to do, little aside. Now, I might regard that as quite extraordinary. So you can see when they look at me, they just think I'm a part-timer. But if you don't run at all, you probably think I'm mad running marathons and things, up mountains and things. It depends on your perspective, doesn't it? So some people think I'm mad. Other people think I'm a part-timer. And I think it's the same when we get around God's power. If you stick around Jesus and people who move in his power, suddenly your perspective of seeing God's power move is different than if you stand around and you think, well, what? I've not experienced it. I've not really experienced God's power. And so you don't expect much, and you think people are a little weird or strange or slightly obsessed if they're expecting God to move in power. It depends on your perspective. And the thing about God is he's given us what is done faith. He's already done it. He's already done all that needs to be done to see his power move. He died on the cross and he rose again. The Christian faith is done. In other words, it doesn't rely on you and me. It relies on what God has already done. So it doesn't matter about your experience. It doesn't matter about how many gifts you've got. It doesn't matter about anything but what God's done. And you simply have to have faith in what God's done. He tells us to go. But when you add the done to go, you get this. God won. Your perspective becomes a God one. You say go and you think, oh, Jesus is sending me out to go and do things in this world and to move in his power. But you feel on all your own, like God sent you on your own. But actually, he's gone with you and he's already done all you need to go. It's Jesus' mission, not yours. So when you have an encounter with somebody or there's some power he wants to release, it's got nothing to do with you and everything to do with God. And when you add the done bit to the God bit, you get God one. It's a God encounter, a God one. So let's just talk a little bit about faith. Faith in what we do not see. Just like electricity. If you never turned a switch, you've never used electricity, you wouldn't expect faith to happen. You wouldn't expect it to happen, would you? But you know that when you turn the light on, what electricity does. And it's the same with God. When you step out in faith, you start to see God's power. And there's a gap between us and God is faith. You can't quite see it, can you? But it's there, and it's a gap, and you've got to step on faith to get to God's power. And it's a risk to do just that. But it's faith in a person. It's not faith in you. It's not faith in your church. It's faith in the person of Jesus. That's who you have faith in. It's a done faith in him. He bridges that gap between us and power. And when you put your faith in Jesus, you start to access God's power. And the truth is that we like to stay on the powerless side because it feels safer. We don't want to take risks because we're full of fear, so we stay on the powerless side and the comfort side because there is risk. But how do we get this faith? How can we grow in faith? Well, I want to suggest it's through time and risk with God. We need to spend time with God because he is whom we have faith in. Real time. And I just want to say, first of all, it comes through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the source of God's power on here. And did you know, Jesus had no power. Did you know that? People often think, well, I'm not Jesus. But when Jesus came down on earth, he gave up his omnipresent. In other words, he wasn't present everywhere as God, obviously because he was a human being. So he was just present in one place. He gave up all his knowledge. He didn't have divine knowledge and he didn't have divine power. That power that he had and that knowledge he had came from the Holy Spirit, which is why it came on him when he was baptized. is because he moved in the power of the Holy Spirit. And here's the good news. We have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that he ministered in, the same power that he ministered in, which is the Holy Spirit, which is why he says we'll do things even greater than he did, because we have the same Spirit. And in order to connect with God's Spirit, we need to spend time in God. And in verse 31, if you see in your reading today, it says, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word boldly. When you're filled with God's Spirit, you have power. There is power. But in order to be filled with God's Spirit, it doesn't just come at Pentecost in a one-off experience. They go on being filled with the Holy Spirit because God's a relational God and he wants to keep spending time with us. So very quickly, here are three ways that we might give God time. Time in the Bible. You hear in our reading today, they're reading it. We see that in verse 25. And verse 24, they're saying, Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in it. They're going, well, if you created the universe, you've got power to do anything. If we really get our heads round, I mean, I love stars and countryside and mountains and beauty. Other people like the detail thing. I'm more of a big mountain person. But whatever it is, just gaze upon it and think, gosh, God created that in his creation. And if he can do that, he can pretty much do anything. And the Bible teaches us story after story after story of this, that we might spend time with the Bible, and therefore the Holy Spirit starts to grow in us. And also in prayer. Prayer is talking to God. It's getting to know, because ultimately, want to know what Christianity is as a Christian? It's getting to know God. Know who he is, just like you might know a friend or a neighbor. You get to know them. God wants us to get to know him. What pleases him? What saddens him? And as we spend time, he gives us his power. He gives us his Spirit. Verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Prayer brings power. Prayer brings power. So we need to spend time with God's Spirit. We need to ask for God's Spirit to fill us. We need to spend time with the Bible, and we need to spend time in prayer. Can I just say, though, this is a journey. Jesus said, follow me. It isn't something, I remember, many of you heard me say it 100 times. I was a person terrified of all this stuff, racked with fear. And God, over time, as I just took little steps of faith, he began to strengthen me, take away my fear, and be the person that he had created me to be. Just by spending time with him. But also risk. There is risk, and this is often the scary bit for us, is that we're called to risk and to have faith. God is interested in us taking risks with him. Do you know, he's less interested in the miracles, doing the miracles, than us just being asking and expecting. So in other words, if you ask for somebody to be healed and they're not healed, that's okay. He's more interested in you being faithful than successful. God's not a God who, like in this world, who's asked us to be successful. He just asks us to be faithful. And there's power when you ask for somebody to be prayed and there's not prayed. There's power in that person that you've prayed for, and there's power in you, even if they're not healed. There's power in that. And sometimes you have to ask 10 times for God to heal someone because he's interested in you being faithful, and then he heals somebody. It's a bit annoying, really. I wish he would just do what I tell him to do. But God's God, and I'm not. So let's just look at these risk things, just very practical as I finish. I want us to be risk where we are. I've said this about all that we do. God's not necessarily sending us to the 7 continents. But the people he's put you around, your friends, your neighbors, your family, your workplace, your school, your home, wherever you are, that's the place that God wants you to take risks. everywhere and anywhere. It's not about taking risks in church mainly. It's outside church. And as I said, I was got so converted by my sermon when I practiced it on Friday. I came to Caterpillar Cafe on Friday morning, and I thought, I'm going to just have faith in, I'm coming to Caterpillar Cafe, and I'm just going to expect God to do something. And I had the most extraordinary conversations that I've ever had, including one with a guy who told me he was an atheist, and 15 seconds later I found myself telling him why I wasn't an atheist, or I was an atheist and changed my mind, and had these things, and I saw God's power working in that situation. You see, the second thing about risk I want to say is that God gives us opportunities. He opens doors. You don't have to artificially, God doesn't expect us to go around and contrive little sermons wherever we go in life. He will simply give us opportunities, and they look like this. You're talking to somebody and they say, oh, I've got a real headache, or I've been really suffering from migraines recently. I'm really struggling to sleep at the moment. Oh, I've been trying to move a bit of furniture, but I just can't seem to move it. I just need help at home. Or I got into such an argument with my partner or with my children or whatever it is. Or maybe I got real pain in my arm at the moment. I don't know what's wrong with it. I think it's just rheumatism or something, but it's just really hurting. These are God opening doors. If you're a Christian here today, and if you're not, you're most welcome. But if you're a Christian here today, that's God working in people, opening a door for you. It's God saying, I'm bringing you to a person in the church to do something about this. He's opening a door for you and asking you. And as I said, it's not about the success and failure. We leave that to God. If something dramatic happens, God gets the credit. If nothing happens, that's on God's head, not yours. But it's an open door. Look for it. Last of all is your response. And you just ask to walk through that door. God will open the door. You just walk through. So the guy said, I'm an atheist. I said, oh, I was an atheist once, wearing my dog collar. And so there it was. The door was open. I just had to say, this is why I changed my mind. Just very simple. Or, I had a really bad headache. Can I pray with you now? Or if you're frightened of praying with someone, say, can I pray for you? When I get home, I'll pray for you. And just simply take that opportunity. And yes, it's scary. But do you know, God does not want us to live in fear. It's what most people suffer from, is fear. And what I, as you know, was racked with. But as you take these little steps of fear, face these little steps, there's no magic cure to fear apart from facing it with God. You're not on your own, you're with God. And he transforms who you are as you take these little steps of faith. Walk through that door. So to sum up, go, but add the done to your going. You're not on your own. Wherever you are, God is with you. It's his mission, his agenda. He wants to do it. And it ends up, whatever you're doing, it'll end up a God one. A God one. You need to give real time to God. Real time to get to know him and to have that spirit in you. It means coming to church. It means going to some sort of growth group or belonging to some growth. You can't do it on your own. We were not designed to do it on our own. We're designed to do it together, to learn about the Bible together, to wrestle together. We're not meant to be on our own. And the truth is, most of us don't like being on our own all the time. Some of us like being on our own sometimes. I do. I love being on my own sometimes. But not all the time. I would die if I was on my own all the time. We're meant to do things together and support. So we need to engage. And last of all, we need to invite encounters for God. In other words, we need to look for the opportunities, the doors that God opens, and then we just simply need to walk through them. God will open doors this very week, I warn you, and you're going to have to decide, am I going to walk through this door or not? Am I going to face my fear or not? And expect God to move in power. This time last year, I was not running at all. I was more like this nice little snail. I was 3 stone heavier, and I wasn't running at all. But I took a little step, and I started by just running a little way, and then I just grew and grew and grew until I had that myself this goal of running up this mountain. And there I am, finally got. 1 year later, I did get to run up my mountain, was my goal. And I loved it so much, I never want to go back again. I want to live like this different way. And God's the same. We take a little step of faith. Even if we feel impossible, oh, this is too hard for me, it's okay. Just a little step. And our goal is to go and minister as Jesus ministered. To do, and this book that Robbie Dawkins has written that I'm reading at the moment, it's called Do As Jesus Did. Very simple. What did Jesus do? He healed people. He set people free. He served people. He loved people. He loved everybody. He was a crazy guy. But I want to be like him. But I'm not, so I'm taking little steps. But I know where my mountain is. It's being like Jesus. I might not get up that one, but I'm on my way. We need to change our perspective and live life differently. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that your kingdom may come. And for each of us here, truth is, Lord, we are full of fear. But your Bible says, your word says, perfect love drives out all fear. So I pray that you might drive out fear. It may not happen in an instant, Lord. But if we take that little step of faith, faith not in ourselves, not in our own abilities, but in Jesus, then we'll start to see power in our life. We'll start to see power in our community, in our family. And the impossible becomes possible with Jesus and his power. And this country will start to be changed as we take those steps. Help us to change our perspective, Lord, to live differently by the power of God. And share the good news of Jesus in power and not in our own ability. Amen. Could I ask the band?